an ending, always on time, unfailing, never unkind, unmerited favor is mine, undeserved.
Oh, I receive your grace, Lord.
I receive.
Come on, if he's been good to you, let's give him all the praise and the honor and glorify him. Magnify him. What a good God. How worthy, how worthy, how worthy. Ah, do you love him? Do you love his grace? What a good God. What a worthy God. What a holy God. I praise you, Lord. What a wonderful presence of God in the house tonight. How fun to be in the house of God. And living for God ought to be full of energy, and you ought to enjoy it. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of God. It ought not be a drag and a drudgery for you to come into the house of God. If it is, you don't have what the Word of God has for you. All right. We're going to take care of a little business here before we move into the Word tonight. Ashley just told me Brother Noe has an infection in his lungs, and we just need to pray for him. Dawson, would you come stand up for him tonight? Some of you gentlemen come. And then Sister Sonia Wells, Brother Zach Wells' mom, has been in the hospital for the better part of this first part of the year. For months now, she's been sick or in and out of the hospital, and we want to pray for her. Sister Sutton, would you come and stand in for her tonight? Just right there in the middle aisle where those ladies around can get around you there and lay their hands on you. And all over the house, let's lift these up and pray for them. In the name above every name, in the name of Jesus. God, hear the prayers of your people. Hallelujah. Your word says when we cry out that you hear. God, you took stripes in your body for healing. We pray healing break forth in this house tonight. Not only on these, but on all that are in the house. Ah, in the name above every name, in the name of Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. I bless your name. I praise your name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise God. Sister Evelyn has been in the hospital. We need to pray for her. Let Tiffany stand in for her right now. Come lay your hands on her. Hallelujah. In the name above every name, in the name above every name, in Jesus' name. All over the house, why don't you just reach over, take somebody's hand, or lay your hand on someone and let this Holy Ghost just flow from house to house, from vessel to vessel. Let the kingdom of God just flow in this house. Hallelujah. In the name above every name, in Jesus' name. And if you believe God hears and answers prayer, let's give him praise and magnify him and thank him. What a good God. What a wonderful provider. Hallelujah. 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 Ah, what a great day to be alive in the kingdom of God. Sister Tynese is doing the children's choir now. This was their and her debut tonight, and I think they did an outstanding job. And don't you love the big people choir and the praise group and all the musicians creating an atmosphere for us to come into the presence of God? It's so sweet. Praise God. I mean, we'd have to praise God in earnest if we just had somebody beating on a bucket and playing a banjo. I mean, that's just, you just got to praise God, but it sure is nice. The Bible talks about playing skillfully. And we appreciate skillful musicians and Holy Ghost worship and worship in music. We appreciate that tonight. There was a time when the prophet was meeting with the kings And he was so angry with the king of Israel. He told him, I wouldn't even look at you if it weren't. And he named the king of Judah. But he was so hacked off, he couldn't hear from God. He said, bring me a minstrel. And they had somebody come and play and worship a little bit. And then he was able to hear from God. It's just like that sometimes. It really helps us. And you guys help open a paradigm for us, help open a portal there for us. And we appreciate it tonight. I appreciate people that yield themselves to the music and the worship. Praise God. And if I start with that, I can't stop. I appreciate coming into a clean house tonight. I appreciate coming into, so. God bless the sound man. God bless them. We're going to read tonight in Philippians chapter 1. Glad to have all of our guests in the house tonight. Philippians chapter 1, we started there this morning, and we're going to read verse 12, verse 13, and verse 20. Paul is writing from a Roman incarceration. He's actually in a house that he's paying for, but he's in chains, and there's a Roman soldier was standing guard over him. Verse 12, but you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. And he's writing from a prison. So that my bonds, verse 13, those chains, those manacles, in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. He says, everybody knows I'm here because of the name of Jesus. Verse 20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. He's just tied up, tangled up, wrapped up in the message and in the God of the book. And he doesn't care how it ends. He knows that it's going to end. But God is the author and God is the finisher. And he has completely relaxed and acquiesced into the hand of his God. That is the premium place to live if you're living for God. That is the optimum place. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Praise God. If you love his word tonight, let's give him praise and thanks and magnify his name. Praise God. Now that's good, and you've been worshiping real good, but let's give him high praise for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. We praise you, oh God. We worship you. We thank you for your word, for the privilege of handling your word in this house tonight. Praise God. Praise God. So, from this morning, and you can be seated, from this morning, Paul in verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God just keeps on being God, and God is a constant, and God will always perform his word, and nothing will stop that. Do you have confidence in God tonight? Are you confident that God is able, that your life is in his hands, and that everything's going to be all right? Well, praise God. So God begins a good work in you. He is the author and the finisher of it. But as you're seated here tonight, he's not finished with you yet. Praise God. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, he's not finished with me yet. I'm not a finished product. God's got some work to do, some projects to complete in my life. But I'm still on board the old ship Zion, and I'm glad to be here. And as we live in the dynamic of the kingdom of God, it's always good to remember that God's not finished with us yet. And so we all have warts and bobos, and we all have things that need to be repaired and things that need to be fixed. But here we are amongst God's people, covered by the blood, our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, with all of our problems and all of our idiosyncrasies. And here we are. Isn't it great to be a part of the kingdom of God? Praise God. And the good work that he has begun in you, if you stay And if you listen and if you say yes to God, he'll be able to continue that work in your life. And you're going to love what God does with you. He'll continue to perform that work in your life. Now, this is the God that is the one who hung the stars in their places. And he's the one that is the artist that gives you that brilliant sunrise and sunset every day. And he's the composer of nature's song. And he is performing all around you all the time. But he is, the word of God says, he will perform it. He's performing in your life. And I think if you ask God, his greatest work is in the restoration and the redemption of mankind. Now, that's why we clap our hands. Now, when someone performs musically, we clap our hands. And when someone performs with artistry and skill, we clap our hands. But, oh, David said, I will clap my hands in the sanctuary. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. What are you clapping for? What are you making all that noise for? God is doing a work in my life. God's changing my mind, and God's changing my spirit, and God's helping my family, and God's blessing my babies, and God's providing for my life, and God's finishing the story that he started. And I just love what God is doing. And when we think about where we could be without the hand of God, it makes me want to praise him all the more. And if praise makes you nervous, and if you don't really appreciate it all that much, as David told his wife who was disparaging his dancing down Main Street with all of his might, he said, sweetheart, it's going to get worse than this. It's before God that I'm praising. He said, I will be more vile than thus. He said, you hadn't seen anything yet. I'm going to continue to praise God. So we clap our hands and praise God for his performance. And all of those historical characters, biblical characters that we talked about a little bit this morning and that we're very familiar with, we don't know the end of their story. We don't know what became of Magdalene and of the Gadarene demoniac. We have some idea about them through the late stages of the gospel record. We don't know about Cornelius and what happened with him or the woman of Samaria, but we do know this, that God continued to work in their lives, and God continued to build, and God continued to change, because that's the promise of the word of God. And God will walk with you right down. If you insist on going to hell, God will walk right down with you to the brink of hell itself, continuing to work on you until the very moment that you step off into eternity without him, because the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. When God gives it to you, he won't take it back. When God says he'll do it, he's going to continue to work that in you. Don't let the devil lie to you. Don't let your insecurity lie to you. Don't let anything tell you that God has left you. He said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. I want you to know when you're ready, he's ready. When you're open, he's willing. When you show up, he'll show up. Does anybody believe that? Is there a testimony in the house? Can somebody say, I called on him. I wasn't right. I hadn't done right. But when I called on him, he showed up. Praise God. And so Paul says here, and furthermore, the things that have happened to me have fallen out. It sounds kind of random. Just the things that happened to me in my life just kind of, it's like if we borrowed Peter's sheet from his vision in Acts chapter 10, where God showed him all the animals and said, kill and eat, except now there's not animals in there, but we're in there. And it's like that backyard summertime game where you have the quilt and somebody's on the quilt and five or six are around and they're throwing you in the air until you fly off somewhere randomly and land in a heap in the grass somewhere. And life feels like that sometimes. Anybody ever felt like life was a little bit random and like something, things were just happening to you rather than you were happening to life? Life was happening to you. But Paul said these things that have fallen out, or if you would, have shaken out. And I want you to know, Paul was shaken out in some very curious places. He was washed up on shore of islands in a storm-tossed sea in a wrecked boat, and he was stoned to death at Lystra, and he spent many, many nights in coal dungeons and jail cells, and he was beaten. And he'll give us a litany and a brief summary how many times he was stoned and how many times he was beaten. And he found himself in some very curious places. But he says, the things that have happened to me have fallen out. And then he uses a word that implies contradiction. Have fallen out rather to the furtherance of the gospel. The word rather there establishes a contradiction. It's not as it appears. It's like if I told you I was shipwrecked, you would say, oh, that's bad. If I told you I was beaten, you would say, man, that's awful. If I told you I spent a week in jail for the cause of Christ, you would say, that's terrible. And if we went down the litany or the summary of what Paul had suffered and what he had experienced, you would have some compassion. But he said, no, rather. It was for the furtherance. It's not like you think. It's not a negative. It's not a bad thing. You see, you're operating on a natural criteria. But you've got to get in step with God's criteria. Because what happens to me, all things, he's going to tell us later in Romans, all things work together for the good to those that love the Lord and are the called according. Now, do you really believe that? Do you really believe that tonight? Do you really believe you're in the hand of God? Do you really, really believe that God is in control? Do you really believe that God is the Almighty God and that you belong to Him? And that everything that goes bump in the night answers to His authority? If you don't know that, if you don't believe that, I don't know how you walk this or how you reconcile life. But Paul says, I want you to understand the things that have happened to me fallen out rather to the furtherance of the gospel. And he's saying my fate is not at odds with the gospel. What's good for the gospel is good for me. I am tethered to the kingdom of God is what he's teaching us. And he's saying when I get up in the morning, like David, I have to say, this is the day that the Lord has made. Now, you know, that's a dicey proposition. That's an act of faith, an enormous act of faith all by itself. This is the day. You're saying that at 6 o'clock in the morning? This is the day the Lord. You're saying that at 5 a.m.? This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. That is a pronouncement to the devil and every adversary and your own natural mind and whatever may happen that day, that the things that are going to fall out on this day are going to fall out for the furtherance of the gospel, for the good of my life, for the good of my family, for the hope that I have in God. Now, does anybody really believe that? I want to challenge your faith tonight, and I want you to rise up in the word of God and lay hold to what God has said. Well, praise God. I'm just going to tell you, not much random in the life of a child of God. Not when God directs your path, orders your steps. That's pretty specific. That's as unrandom as you can get. Paul was falling out in a lot of different places. Here's the summary. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 24. Of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, save one. They had a policy of not beating you 40 times, only 39. Verse 25, three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In the journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers. And we never read about Paul getting mugged. We never read about him getting stuck up by anybody. We read about God mugging him on the way to Damascus when he gets converted. But there's a lot in here that we don't know anything about. Nobody. Luke is his travel companion, and Luke never writes about some of these things. In perils of mine own countrymen, in perils of the heathen, in perils of the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils among false brethren. If you want to sign up for the kingdom, we've got a list right here. You can sign up tonight. Yeah, I know, it's like everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to go tonight. Everybody wants to serve God, but it's this vague, unobjective thing. Yeah, I want to serve God. Well, how and when and to what degree? And what can God do with you? And what can God do to you? What can God use you for? Those are difficult questions. He gives us a summary. He said in verse 27, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst. And you can hear Paul singing, I want my blessing. I get my blessing. You understand that's a gross contradiction to biblical Christianity. Because if it's all about you and all about the natural criteria and all about what you define as blessing, it is far removed from what these first century apostolics experienced. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. Or do you just want a God that meshes nicely with 21st century consumer expectations, and you're blessed of God and God is good and things are well if all the bills are paid and you're and everything's going well in the natural? Or do you really want a move of God in your life? Do you really want God to touch the people that you love? Do you know when God comes, when he talks about things that have happened to me have fallen out, when God gets up in the middle of your life and starts shaking things up, and if things stay like they are, the loved ones are going to be lost. If things stay like they are, it's just going to be the same old, and you're not going to have the revival that God's promised in his word. But when you say yes, and God steps in, he may take you, your house, your family, and all that you hold dear and shake you up, and when it falls out, it won't be some random thing. When it falls out, it's going to fall out to your good, and it's going to fall out for his purpose, and it's going to fall out. Question is anybody up for that? Is anybody open for that? Does anybody just, come on, we just got one trip around this. We've just got one chance to do this. Is there anybody that would really like to have a real apostolic revival in the 21st century in the city of Birmingham, Alabama? Would anybody really like to see what God can do? Yeah, but I've scared you off already. I should have saved Paul's summary for last or just ditched it altogether. You mean God may hurt me? You mean something might happen to me? I don't think God's people go to the hospital by accident. I don't think that trouble comes by accident. I believe God's got purpose in everything that he does, and I've got good theology for all of that. Verse 28, besides those things that are without, with that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. He said, man, I got to take care of all these churches, and I'm out bobbing like a cork in the middle of the ocean. Verse 32, in Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me, and through a window in a basket I was let down by the wall and escaped through his hands. You understand the great apostle Paul is furtively escaping the city in a basket, like a loaf of bread, led over the wall in the middle of the night, singing, I've got the victory. I've got the victory. Did he look blessed? Did he look on point with God? Did any of these things that we just described look like the will and the purpose of God for anybody's life? But I want to tell you, he was right in the middle of the will of God. And he said, all of these things have worked for the good. They have worked for the furtherance of the gospel. The question is, does anybody really want to have end time revival? Paul filters his life experience through his theology. Now, I want you to just engage with Paul's theology here. I'm in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And everyone say, and we know. Now, don't say this if you don't know it, but say, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Anybody here love God? I mean, you really love God. To them who are the called according to his purpose. Anybody here the called according to his purpose? That was about half. About all said I love him, and about half said I'm called according to his purpose, and you're already crawfishing. You're already backing up on me because you're afraid of what this might cost. You're afraid of what God may hear or what might happen. But he said, I want you to know that all things work together for good to those that love God. All things. Not happy things, not the things you prayed for, not the things according to your will, but according to his will, all things. All things. My God, we had a funeral here, the best funeral that anybody ever had in their whole life. I mean, that was a majestic funeral. I mean, the Holy Ghost was soaring in the house. That was the best funeral I ever been to, ever. I just want to say praise God. Do you know we had people in church this morning and last week because they were impacted by a funeral service? They're coming to the house of God. I'm just going to tell you, your mama belonged to God. And that sickness, God, we prayed, we laid hands on, we prayed, we called on the name of Jesus. And he used that. He didn't break Paul out of jail. He didn't stop that ship from sinking. He didn't stop any of those things. I want you to know and understand. You need to hear this, and you need to know this for your faith. If you're going through trouble, unless you've got active sin in your life, I don't even want to talk to you if that's the case. But if you're doing what God's asked you to do, if you're walking like he's asked you to walk, and you've got trouble in your life, you need to understand when the devil comes, he's going to say, well, you're a failure, and you're corrupt, and you're not what God is looking for, and trouble's here because you're a mess. No, you need to rise up and say, listen to me, devil. All things, this thing, work. Works together for good, and it's gonna be to the good. All of this, as I'm getting shaken up, as I fall out, it's gonna all fall out for the furtherance of the gospel. Somebody give God praise in the middle of your trouble right now. Somebody give God praise in the middle of your pressure right now. Somebody show the devil that you believe the word of God and you don't believe him. Whose report will you believe? Isaiah 53 begins with, who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? What you believe determines if God's plan or power is revealed in your life. Praise God. You can believe the report of hell. You can believe the report of the world. Or you can believe the report of God. This is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to worship. I'm going to praise. I'm going to live this. I'm not going to doubt it. I'm not going to question it. I'm going to open the book and say what the book says. Oh my God. Clap your hands and lift your voice. And magnify him. Now, I'm about to read a passage that would make John Calvin pleased. He is most closely associated with the doctrine of predestination. And if you're a Presbyterian here tonight, my apologies. You probably don't even know that that's part of your charter doctrine. But we're going to read this knowing that you read Scripture within the context of Scripture. And Scripture is influenced by context. And that Scripture synthesizes with Scripture. And so Scripture never contradicts Scripture, but satisfies and fulfills and cooperates and supports. And everybody said amen. Amen. Praise God. So it's all working to our good. Verse 29, we're in Romans 8 still, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, God saw you while you were in your mother's womb. God knew you when you were just a little pre-embryonic speck. He's been watching you a long time. And I'll just go further. He's got a plan and a design for you, a calling for you, and a purpose for you. Do you just kind of know that on an atavistic sense? Do you just kind of at soul level know that God has something for you? Three of you know that. I'm glad. We're going to work on that. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And the scripture uses the word predestinate without blinking, because the scripture is fused together and synthesized there with the idea that everything swings on the hinge of a personal choice and human will. And so the word of God tempers itself here with the idea that whosoever will can come. Anybody can come. And so this is not a piece of theology concerning the fact that God arbitrarily and selectively chooses. It is rather the fact that everybody can come, but God knew you when you walked in the door. You see, God lives outside of time. God lives, he is the Alpha and the Omega. He stands outside of time. He already sees you around the throne of heaven, or he sees you in the pit of hell. Now, adults embrace that okay, but teenagers have a problem with that because they don't think it's fair that God already sees you in hell. It's like, that's not fair. He's not fooling with you. If you go to hell, it'll be because you made decisions to do that. Because every day you picked your foot up and put it down and made choices that led you straight into hell. That's the only way you get there. You have to try. You have to walk over the blood, over the word of God, over every sign that he gave you in prophecy and in nature around you. You really got to work at going to hell. And so if you get there, it'll be by will and by choice. God doesn't choose winners. God doesn't choose losers. But what he does, he walks up right next to the winner and he says, everything I have is at your disposal. Every power that I possess is on your side. If God be for us, you need to hear this and understand it tonight. Who he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he justified. And whom he justified, them he glorified. He already sees you at the end of the journey right now. And he's invested himself. Let me tell you this. Don't you ever question God's devotion to you. The writer said, hereby perceive. This is 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, for he laid down his life for us. God is totally, eternally devoted to you to the degree that he stepped out of heaven, robed himself in flesh, gave himself a ransom for our sins. If you love him, clap your hands unto him. Don't let the devil or your doubts or anybody else question the love of God in your life. Praise God. So then, and this is exactly the logic, if God be for us, everyone say, if God be for us. We're in verse 32. Who can be against us? My God, I want somebody that has significant trouble in your life right now. I want you to just stand up on your feet and say, if God be for us, who can be against us? My God, if God is on my side, who can stand against me? You need to open your mouth and say what God has said. You need to lay hold to this promise of God. Paul's theological rationale. Would you say, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Do you know the word of God said he's given you everything that pertains to life and godliness? I want to say it again. God's already given you everything you need. You've got everything. No, don't sit here tonight and talk about what you don't have. Don't make the list again of what you don't have and how it can't be. You need to stand up in the middle of your faith tonight and say, God has given me everything that I need. Somebody ought to shout about that right now. Somebody ought to dance about that right now. You ought to give God praise. Your cup runneth over. My God. He prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My God, I might be covered up with enemies on every side. Let's sit down and have dinner. Let's sit down and have communion. Let's sit down and have fellowship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Yeah, we're in a war. Yeah, we're in a battle. But God has placed his hand on you. Well, praise God. Praise God. Verse 33, would you say, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? We'll roll back to Romans chapter 8. And would you just say, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Oh, let's say that again. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. My God, he's not a condemning God. He's a restoring God. There's only one condemner. It's the devil of hell. It's your own natural mind. But you need to stand up in the middle of your failure, your trouble tonight, and know that God is on your side. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Come on, stand in the middle of that and say, it is God that justifies. My God, if I'm justified by God, it doesn't matter what anybody else says. Come on, it is God that's washed me clean. It is God that's filled me with his Spirit. It is God that's made promise to me by his word tonight. And I'm going to believe him. And I'm going to believe him. And I'm going to believe him. It's God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who's at the right hand of God, that makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? These are all powerful and probing questions tonight, and they strike at the foundation of the deceit and the condemnation that hell brings to everyone that loves God and believes God. He's trying to destroy your faith tonight, but you need to hear the apostle as he's calling out to you, and you need to know nobody's got the right to condemn you. Nobody's got the right to judge you. There's one judge, and he's sitting on the throne of heaven, and he said, I love you with an everlasting love. I've written you on the palms of my hands. Who is he that condemns? It is my God that died for me. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation? No, it's working for my good. Or distress? No, it's working. It's going to all shake out for the furtherance of the gospel. He said, shall persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, everyone, just look around your life for just a minute. I want you to go down your list of all the adversaries and all the problems and all the distress and all the trouble and the pressures, anything you have that really vexes your spirit. And I want you to just shake your head and say, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. My God, he's already written it in his book. He is the author. He is the finisher. He's got a finish for your story that you're going to love. But you've got to stand up in the middle of it and say, yay, Lord. You've got to stand up in the middle of it and say, yes, I'm going to believe that. I'm going to embrace that. I'm going to walk up and down in that tonight. Praise God. Praise God. We are more than conquerors. For I'm persuaded. Everybody say, I really believe this. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. If you believe that, clap your hands, lift your voice, give him some praise tonight. Now let's give him high praise. Mighty God. Holy God. We praise you. We magnify you. We lift you up. We worship your name, oh God. This doesn't come naturally for us. We are fallen, and we are by nature the children of Adam. And even when you get your new beginning, and you feel the powerful relief of God lifting the sin off your life and filling you with his Spirit, we are still prone toward our Adamic tendencies. Our default positions are all negative. Our default positions are all pessimistic and negative and assume and fear the worst. And it takes training and it takes a steady diet of the Word of God to reshape your thinking and to change your thought life and your vision and your imagination. It takes a while. And so we got to be about the business of doing that. It's so funny. I can hear Zig Ziglar. And the only reason Ziglar was ever
success at any level is because he used biblical principles and ideas. But he said silly things like, you can change who you are and you can change what you are by changing what you put into your mind. What a novel idea. But the Word of God said it long before there was a Yazoo, Mississippi, or a Zig Ziglar. The Word of God said life and death is in the power of the tongue. What you put into yourself determines your trajectory. Determines. These are powerful promises that we're reading tonight. This is a powerful ally that we have in God Himself. And He's made all these outrageous promises to the degree that Paul said, when my life is scattered to the winds and I just kind of fall out, he said, these things have fallen out. You would have thought it'd just be random. You would have thought there's no intelligent ending to this. This is so scattered. But he said, every bit of it has fallen out to the furtherance of the gospel. If you took these single things that Paul summarized and itemized them and took a census of just normal, rational people, if, you know, you could find some normal, rational people, but you took a census of them and asked them about these things that had happened to Paul, I think the consensus would be that all of these things were negative. All of these, he's trying to be an evangelist. Oh my God, he got shipwrecked. He's trying to win the world. Oh, they're beating him with rods again. My God, he's under a pile of rocks at Lystra, and he's dead. He's dead. And on and on and on. It all sounds very negative. But Paul said every one of these things was orchestrated by God. You say God hit him with rocks? No, silly. God didn't pile him up under rocks. God just touched that situation and used it for the good of the kingdom of God. God is an orchestrator. God is a choreographer. God is a designer and an engineer. He can take the biggest mess. Some of you are living or have lived in the middle of a huge mess. Is there a testimony in the house that God can unscramble scrambled eggs and just take something that was hopelessly bound up and create something good? Is it true that He makes all things beautiful in His time? My God, how does He do that? Well, He's God. But you just need to get on board with God tonight. Praise God. Lindsay, come help me. Praise God. Let's clap our hands again to Him. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. And so I want to utilize the criteria of the Word of God. Paul's criteria, but really God's criteria for judging what is good, what is right, what is beautiful, what is a good outcome. I want to use God's criteria for all of that. Acts chapter 12 begins with, in verse 1, Herod cut off the head of James. And he saw that it was a pleasing thing to the Jews. And so he went and arrested Peter and brought Peter to jail. Now, when you hear this story, you most often hear about Peter in a prison. Surrounded in chains by four quaternions of soldiers. He's got 16 soldiers around him, and he's in the middle of the dungeon, and the church is praying and they're seeking the face of God, and in the middle of the night Peter's asleep and the angel has to kick him in the ribs to wake him up, and wakes him up, and Peter thinks he's dreaming and the chains fall off, and he walks to the door, and the door opens of its own accord, and the soldiers are asleep. And he walks out through several gates, and it's not till he gets to what the Bible calls the iron gate of the city that the gate opens up, and he realizes, this is not a dream. I have been sprung. And he's off on his way And the church is praying. And Peter goes to John Mark's mom's house and starts banging on the door. And they're inside praying for him. And a little gal named Rhoda comes to the door, and she opens the door and slams it in his face. They pray for Peter. Peter shows up at the door, and they don't believe it. And she goes back and tells all the guys that are praying, it's Peter. Peter's at the door. And they said, they looked up from prayer for Peter and said, it can't be Peter. He's in jail. It's his angel. Oh, God, deliver Peter. Oh, God, turn him loose. And finally, she persists, and Peter keeps pounding, and they go to the door, and it's him and God. And that's usually what you hear when you hear about Acts chapter 12. But the lingering, poignant question in that chapter is, what about James? I know Peter got sprung. What about James? He's an apostle, just like Peter. He's loved by God just like Peter. He's powerful in ministry in the church at Jerusalem just like Peter. James got his head cut off. The very first, he didn't get much press. Herod arrested him, cut off his head. That's all he gets. What about James? Who do you want to be in the story? Well, of course I want to be Peter. I mean, if I got to choose, I don't want to be in jail at all. But if I got to choose, I want to be Peter. James, are you kidding? James got his head cut off. Who wants to be James? But James belonged to God. And James was in the perfect, radiant, crystalline will of God. And he was chosen for purpose and for function and for service. And God used him like a flower that springs up on the backside of a mountain that nobody ever sees, but grows up and is radiant in its beauty just for the pleasure of God and succumbs to the heat of the day. Nobody ever applauded. Nobody ever said, wow, nobody ever. But it was enough. So you got to go some places in your mind and in your determination about living for God. David told his wife when she hated his worship, he said, oh, you made a mistake. This is not about you. She said, well, you made yourself a fool in front of all the handmaidens. He said, it's not about them. It's about him. I'm worshiping for him. This, you thought this was a show, you silly girl. This is worship unto God. And I know I look like a fool. David looked like Daffy Duck coming down the middle of the street. Said he was leaping and dancing and running. But he was using God's criteria. He was using God's metric. He was using God's measuring system. Praise God. Praise God. So, what's happening in your life right now? If it's just a part of a normal apostolic day, and you're doing everything you've been told and asked to do by God, and you're doing your very best, and negative things are happening, welcome to life. Welcome to life. But I will tell you this, you're not like just any John or Joe or Frank or Sally on the street. You belong to God. And everything that comes your way, God takes it and fashions it in the forge of his word and his will, and changes your trajectory and causes it all to work together for your good. My kids came home and told me a story that a wise Sunday school teacher had taught them. He just used an object lesson. He baked chocolate chip cookies for them. And he's a wise teacher and an effective teacher. Because everybody wanted the cookie, but nobody wanted to eat the spoonful of Crisco. But that spoonful of Crisco is what makes that cookie. That greasy, lardish lump is what makes that cookie cry out to you in the middle of the night from the kitchen counter. Not one of those dry, dusty, lifeless cookies. But one of Sister Sarah's killer cookies or Sister Shirley's. I guarantee you they've got a truckload of Crisco in every cookie, in every bite. But the cookie's dynamite. But here, I want you to eat this teaspoon of lard. I don't think so. I'll pass. But the lesson was, all things work together for good. But where you are right now is not necessarily all things. Today may be the day you eat the spoonful of lard. Tomorrow may be the measure of sugar. The next day may be the chocolate chips. And on down the road, we get the whole cookie. But you just may be going through lard mouth right now. This the day that the Lord has made. You get it? You understand that? But we walk it the same if it's the lard day or the chocolate chip day. Because we know down at the end there's going to be a pile of cookies. And God's good to us. Let's stand together tonight. If you love him, let's lift up our voice and our hands and our hearts. Let's magnify him. I know we've gone beyond emotion tonight, but this is not about emotion. This is about concept. This is about embracing truth tonight. This is something functional and very helpful for what you encounter tomorrow and Tuesday. This is how we live for God and walk in victory. Praise God. Praise God. But I'd like us, as many as are able, I'd like you to just come down to the altar tonight. If you're with your family, come as family tonight. Stand together. And as you do that, as you join, if you don't have family, adopt somebody tonight. But as you join together, I want you to just tell them, God says, everything's going to be all right. Tell them, it may look like it's just falling out everywhere, scattered out everywhere, but God has it all in the palm of his hand. Come on, God is able. God is able. Come on down close. Make room. There's folks coming behind you. Somebody say yes to God. Somebody say yes. Yes, 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 yes. Come on, walk in it tonight. Lay hold of it tonight. Shake off every lying thing. Shake off every hindering thing. Say yes to God. I believe all things are going to work to my good, God. I believe your word. I believe the power of the name of Jesus. I believe the power of your Holy Ghost. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I believe you, Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. Yes.
You make all things new. Yes, you make all things new. And I will follow you forward. You make all things new.
Praise the Lord. Turn to somebody by you. Lay your hands on them and just pray an anointed prayer for them tonight. Pray down some anointing. Pray down the blessing of God on them. Hallelujah. Yes, 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 yes.
Follow you forward.